Well, there's long-standing trouble between the Jews and the Samaritans ever since some of the Jewish exiles had come back from Babylon. They found that the central section of their ancient land was occupied by a group of people who claimed to be the true descendants of Abraham and who were against the return of the Jewish exiles. Since that time, there had been constant trouble between the two peoples. The Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, and vice versa. In today's Holy Gospel, we find Jesus meeting with a Samaritan woman in Sychar. And as I said, the long-despised Samaritans were not the friends of the Jewish people. Many devout Jewish men would not have allowed themselves to be alone with a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, and certainly not in conversation with her. Plus, it turns out, this woman has a most questionable past and reputation. The regular time of day for a woman to come to Jacob's well, which was a distance from the center of town, would be at a cooler time of day, most likely the first thing in the morning or later in the afternoon. This woman is forced to come to the well at a time when she is least likely to run into anybody, at least anyone who knows her and of her past and her immoral lifestyle. The last thing she would want would be to rub shoulders with the other women in the town, and they would feel the same way about her. Jesus knows all about this. But still, he gets into a conversation with her, asking her for a drink. And he tells this woman that she should have asked him for one. She surprisingly thinks he means it in the usual sense. And Jesus explains to her that if she really knew who she was talking to, that he would give her living water. In the first century Israel, they would call living water, water that was moving in a stream or river or even from a waterfall rather than a pool or well. Moving or living water is more likely to be fresh and clean than water that's been standing around, possibly getting stagnant. And then even more importantly, Jesus isn't referring to physical water at all, whether it's still or moving. But he's referring to the new life that he's offering to anyone, anyone at all, no matter what their gender, their geography, their racial or moral background. What Jesus says about this living water makes it very clear that he's talking about something quite different. Not only will the water he's offering quench your thirst so that you'll never be thirsty again, but it will become a spring that is bubbling up inside, refreshing you with new life coming into the world with Jesus, and which is the life of the whole new world that God is making through him. Intrigued by Jesus' offer of living water, she asked him to have some, not realizing that if you want to take Jesus up on this offer of running pure water bubbling up inside you, you'll have to get rid of the stale, moldy, stagnant water that you've been living off all this time. In her case, it was her married life. And to tell you the truth, also her unmarried life. Jesus knew exactly what kind of life that she lived and what was going on in it. This Samaritan woman has had a life filled with one emotional upheaval after another, with enough husbands coming and going to keep all the gossips in this village busy for weeks. I guess that her various marriages ended in divorce, whether legal or informal, and not with the death of these men. We don't know what's happened in her life that has made it harder for her to have lasting relationships, but she knew her life was a mess, and she knew that Jesus knew it too, and he even told her so in great detail. Jesus also made it clear to her that it wasn't important where you worshipped, as the Samaritans believed that Mount Gerizim was God's holy mountain, while the Jews, of course, believed that Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where the temple was located, is where they should worship. Well, Jesus also didn't mince any words with her, saying, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." With this in her mind, she left her jar right at the well and went back to town to tell others who it was that she had just met. Can you imagine how excited this lady must have been? And what had been coming to well inside of her as she came to this well and met with the Savior of the world in person? This must have not have been an easy conversation for her. But the conversations that she had going to town must have been incredible. Talk about an evangelist. Jesus overcame the gender barrier, as Jewish rabbis would never have been caught speaking with a woman in public. They wouldn't even speak to their wives or daughters outside the privacy of their homes. Many would even close their eyes when they saw a woman on the street. Well, then Jesus overcame the perceived racial barrier, Jews versus Samaritans, which he unquestionably crossed in order to get not only to the heart of the matter, but to change the woman's heart. And then lastly, Jesus overcame the social barrier. Being a rabbi or teacher, people viewed him with respect, at least those who heard his teachings or witnessed or heard of his miracles. His reputation was remarkably unquestionable, while this woman's extremely questionable reputation. This woman was a social outcast, and Jesus' speaking to her would have left him open to charges of breaking the unspoken rules of social etiquette, if not becoming unclean in the offing. When the apostles returned from town where they were buying supplies, they were surprised that he was talking to her. And not one of them asked why Jesus was talking to her. Jesus' talk with this woman had deeply touched her, and her testimony to all the townspeople had a tremendous effect. Listen to these words from today's Holy Gospel, from John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Jesus had crossed those barriers that I just spoke about, just as he, his word, and his believers do today. True believers in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah, are following his example to get out of our comfort zones and to interact with people who might be radically different from ourselves. and carry his message of truth and love into their neighborhoods, their cities, countries, and hearts, where people, let's face it, seriously need them and need him. It doesn't have to be a foreign country. It may be the people next door or across the street who clearly do not have Jesus leading their lives. When we're truly devoted to the sharing of the good news and the love of Jesus Christ with others, the Holy Spirit will help us to overcome any barriers that have been put in our way. This is all about faith, truth, and trust in the Lord. Let us continue to be an example to others, praying and caring for those who've been affected by illness or any kind of barriers of this world, not veering off of the message of faith and trust. The Apostle Paul had it spot on when he wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now keep these encouraging words from the prophet Jeremiah close to your heart, from his chapter 29, verse 11. I want you to hear these words. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Have faith in him who is truth, whom you can trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.